Hello, everyone. In today's episode, we talk about leg day, what's needed, what's unnecessary, and what you should think about at your next perfect workout. Please enjoy.
Welcome to the Perfect Workout Podcast, where fitness meets simplicity. I'm Kyle Recchia, CEO of the Perfect Workout. I'm joined by Jim Keane, our director of training. We hope you enjoy today's episode.
Welcome back, everybody. Today, Jim and I, two guys. Jim and I sounds like the Zodiac sign.
Yeah, Gemini.
Yeah, Gemini.
Because there's both of us.
Because there's the twos. Two guys are going to talk about leg day. How ironic. We get a lot of questions about legs and leg day. Specifically, a lot of our members are females, something like 80% of them. And there are tons of devices out there, tons of routines out there that focus mostly on the legs and the glutes. And so then our members come to the Perf Workout. If you're in one of our flagship studios, we've got some routines that you'll talk about for the legs. And then when you come to one of our newer FastFit studios, there's even less, so to speak. And so it brings up a lot of questions. So Jim, let's just dive into leg day.
Yeah, the basic premise is that we want to fully stimulate the entire body in a workout. And that holds true for the flagship and the FastFit studios. Now, with weights, you have to realize that it is a slightly lesser stimulus than with FastFit. And what that means is, for a given movement, let's say, it's a good way to understand is like a chest press. At any given part of the range of motion, imagine the involved musculature. It's the chest, it's the front deltoid, the front shoulder, and the triceps. Now, at this angle, when the bar is at your chest, imagine a pie graph, and it showed a certain slice of pie that was what your chest is contributing, and then with the shoulder, and then with the triceps. There's three slices. This is very chest heavy, and every inch of the way, the pie would shift because there's a different relative contribution of each of those muscle groups. Got it. And out here, it's very heavy tricep and less chest. Down here, heavy chest, less tricep.
Okay.
But no muscle group is ever working at 100% effort. So when you're using a weight and you get done with your chest press, you do indeed have to go do your pec deck specifically for the chest, eliminating the triceps entirely. You do have to go do your lateral raises. You do have to go do your triceps. So that's the principle. With weights, the brain will never activate any muscle group it does not need to, any muscle fibers that are unnecessary for the task at hand. When the weight is lifted, the task is accomplished. We're good. So the brain and the body, the whole nervous system, is a homeostatic mechanism. It just wants homeostasis, and it wants to use the fewest resources possible to accomplish whatever the given task is. And that's because it's survival, like for an organism. So when you're using FastFit, for example, the task is never accomplished. There's an unlimited amount of resistance. The weight is never lifted. In the one direction, you're trying to go as fast as you can, and it's restricting your speed. Then it's coming back at you. You're holding your ground, trying not to move, and then, of course, it's moving you. Mm-hmm. But those, the chest, the shoulder, the triceps, instead of being just slices of a pie, none of whom are working at 100%, every single muscle group involved is working at 100% effort the entire time.
So you have sort of four pies, so to speak.
Correct.
At 100%.
Yep. Yeah. And so the idea is with the legs, you have the leg press. Now, when you're lifting weights, there's a certain proportion, glutes and then quads and then the constellation of muscle groups that are involved in hip extension, knee extension, and then lowering it back down. But none of the involved musculature is working at 100% of its momentary capacity. So you do need leg extension, you know, leg curl, you got adductor, abductor. There's all sorts of auxiliary muscle groups that need to be worked after. Mm-hmm. And people think that this variety is good per se. People think if I have a device that can do 70 different leg exercises, well, that's better than this one. This one only does 12. And it turns out that's not really necessary even with weights. You don't need to do that. There's nothing that can be accomplished with all this variety that's not already being accomplished by using mechanisms and movement patterns that track the muscle and joint function. You can do a bunch of different patterns, but you're using the same muscles. So let's just work that muscle. Mm-hmm. Now, with FastFit, same principle applies. You are fighting the machine as it comes back at you, and every single muscle group, your hamstrings, your quads, your glutes, even your calves get it on the act, your adductors, your abductors, all of the glutes, the glute medius, the glute minimus that you've all seen the different on Instagram, do this weird angle to get this part of your glute. You don't need to try to get parts of the glute when you're using FastFit, because just the regular old leg press gets all of the parts of the glute, because the brain attempts to activate and recruit new muscle fibers because the task is not accomplished. This thing's still coming at us. So you end up stimulating the adductors, the abductors, both heads of the hamstring, all four of the quadriceps, the entire glute complex, even the calves statically flex as you do the leg press. When you get done with a FastFit leg press, every single muscle in your lower body has worked at 100% of its momentary capacity. Awesome. So yes, why don't you guys have leg curl? How come you don't have leg extension? How come you don't have the adductor abductor? Well, they're unnecessary. There's nothing that could be accomplished with their addition that is not already being accomplished in their absence.
Yeah, so if you're going into one of our flagship studios, we do cover, like you just said, we do the leg press. A typical routine will be then the leg extension, the leg curl, the abduction. I know that can be confusing for people because you have this sort of transverse movement, so to speak. And then you come into a FastFit studio, and just like you said, for most people, we just do the leg press. Some people will also add in like a belt squat, whether it's static or moving there. But to your point, Jim, you're going from sort of these 6 to 8 pies, so to speak, to really deeply inroad sort of the muscle fatigue when you're doing those sets to failure. And then on the FastFit machine, it's sort of as if you're doing all 8 pies at once on just the leg press. And I want to say this sort of cheeky, like, and don't take our word for it, because there's actually a study done at Western University. Maybe you can, we've talked about it before, but maybe you can speak again to sort of an example of what showed up there.
Yeah, and this surprised even me. We've spoken before about the study that was done at Western Colorado University in the fall of 2021. It was published, and it was a weightlifting group and a FastFit group. And crucially, the FastFit group only had at its disposal the FastFit Pro. And that's the leg press, chest press, row, calves, abs, and a torso extension. Mm-hmm. So just those 6 things. And the weightlifting group had an entire weight room. They chose 10 movements, and it's the classic movements. It's overhead press, it's chest press, it was a row, a pull down. It was a leg press, a barbell squat, leg extension, leg curl, biceps, triceps, and I believe a lateral raise.
And didn't you have ABA deduction?
It could have.
Because I think I remember seeing that in the...
Yeah, yeah. And it's like, it's 10 things, and there was 12 weeks. And there was a couple ways that the weightlifting group had a decided advantage in the setup. The first thing was that the testing that was done to determine who got stronger by how much, the 1 rep max, the heaviest thing you could lift once, and then the heaviest amount of weight you could lift 5 times, the 5 rep max, those were all performed on weights, using weights. So the weightlifting group practiced the test for 12 weeks. Mm-hmm. And then the other group who just used FastFit, they got stronger, but they weren't practiced in the movement. Whereas the weightlifting group, you get stronger because strength training works, plus you've been practicing the movement. So it's kind of the deck is stacked in favor of the weightlifters a little bit.
Which kind of blows some steam on the whole, like, practicing sort of neurological effects versus actually gaining more strength. You know, this right. group was actually practicing the test. Theoretically, they should have beat everybody just on the theory of practicing the test, if that makes any sense.
Right, and that's how much better FastFit is than weights. Because there is an advantage of practicing the test. And a third group, fictitiously, hypothetically, who had done FastFit, but then once per week went over and just practiced the test a little bit, they would have probably beaten just the FastFit group. So you need the strength and the skill. But the weightlifting group was getting some strength increase, and it's just a feather in our cap that it was so much greater than the FastFit group. But to your point, one of the movements was a hamstring curl. And then I thought about it. I was like, the only lower body movement we ever did was just the leg press for 12 weeks. And the hamstring, for those who don't know, the hamstring has 2 heads, the biceps femoris, the thigh biceps. There's biceps, two. There's 2 heads of the hamstring. And one of those heads connects above the halfway point of your body, above the hips. So like in the low back. And so that is involved in hip extension. It's like the torso extension. You get a little bit of that. So that part of the hamstring, you'd expect a gain in strength. But the other one is only involved in knee flex.
Curl, okay.
Just the leg curl. And we don't do any leg curling. Even in the leg press, we're leg extending and then resisting flexion, not producing flexion. So that, in principle, that head of the that part of the muscle doesn't get any direct work. There's no motive force that it has resistance. So I was expecting, they probably got us there because we didn't do any direct work for that. Part of the hamstrings, we don't really have.
They can take the hamstring trophy. At least we'll get the other.
Yeah,
8.
Well, you know, I also thought the overhead press, because we didn't do anything going overhead. So obviously that's movement pattern. They're going to get us there. And we didn't do anything direct for biceps or triceps. So they're probably going to get us there.
So we'll take 6 of 10.
Totally cool. All the compound stuff, we got it.
Yeah.
anyway, the thing comes back and you scroll to the bottom of the study and they have those charts where it's a control group and then weightlifting and then the fast fit. And we basically doubled their improvements on everything, including the hamstring. So the hamstring, they improved in their hamstring strength because strength training works. And so you see on the graph, the control group, nothing. These guys, terrible. And then the weightlifting group had some increase. It's by percentage increase on the y-axis compared to 12 weeks prior. And then ours was like doubling that. And I thought, how can that be? We didn't even work the hamstrings directly. And they did in the thing that was tested. So they did the strength of the muscle and the movement pattern of the test itself. And we still almost doubled their strength. And the 5 rep max, same way. And then we beat them in the overhead press too, even though we didn't do any overhead pressing. And our biceps and triceps, those were the closest, but we still beat them out. Even though the only triceps they got in the entire thing was just in the chest press for the fast fit group. And the other guys were doing a bench press and the triceps press down. But even so, we still exceeded their performance there. So the point is, there's a principle. And so this is that part. We can't really explain that, but we know it happened. So we know that in this case, there was nothing that was achieved by direct work for the hamstrings that was not already being achieved and surpassed by just the regular old leg press on a fast fit machine. That's the answer to the members who go, how come we don't have the curl and the extension and all this? It's unnecessary. And we only have, we want to get the biggest metabolic bang for the buck.
Mm-hmm.
And compared to the larger muscle groups, your hamstrings, if you took it out and weighed it, it's not that impressive of a muscle group. Like, we have bigger fish to fry here. We have better stuff to do. And the hamstrings already being hit. And so that's the idea of it's the principle is called irradiation. And irradiation says that the more powerfully a muscle contracts, the more powerfully the muscles around it also contract and become stimulated. The classic example is if you handed me a walnut and you said, go ahead and squeeze this walnut and break it.
Okay.
At first I'd squeeze it and my forearm would flex and maybe my arm. And it's not breaking. So then I would really try. And my abs, my core would be tight and like my lats would, and my chest would come in. Everything is lit up. And then, Jim, you really need to break that walnut. And now my whole body flexes. If I were standing, I would kind of make, I'd figure out how to really focus all my energy into the walnut. And none of these are the target muscle group. None of these are even applied to the walnut. It's still just my grip, right?
Right.
But the irradiation effect says that the more powerfully I focus here, the more powerfully everything else is stimulated. So in the leg press, you're going as fast as you can, as hard as you can on the way out. And then you're holding your ground, trying to fight it as hard and fast as you can. And as a result, your failure to do so, your attempt to do the impossible, elicits the response that we want, which is your hamstrings, even the one that's not involved in the movement at all, it flexes, it contracts, it uses fuel. It even contracts and expands as the legs move. So there's some muscle damage there and there's some stimulus. And even though it's not the target of the movement, it's still way better than weights where it is the target of the movement.
Yeah.
And so the same thing happens with the abs, which are involved in every single movement on a fast fit machine. In the triceps, your abs are flexed, trying to fight the machine. Chest press coming back at you, abs are flexed, trying to resist the pull down. The abs are ripping up as you're trying to fight it and hold your ground.
Yeah.
The abs are heavily involved. So that's why we don't tend to like to do direct work for the abs. It's unnecessary. And it's opportunity cost. Every time you do abs, you're not doing a more productive,
that's right,
more metabolically impactful movement.
Yeah.
And so that's why we don't do a wide variety of leg movements in the Fast Fit studios. The most we could probably do is like right leg and then left leg and then both. And then maybe throw a belt squat on, mm-hmm, you know, in the back. But other than that, you don't need adductor, abductor, small little muscle groups, just tiny. And we could be doing large muscle groups that would make a huge difference in your body composition, in your metabolic milieu, as the French might say. The idea that your insulin control and your blood sugar control and all these things we talk all these episodes about, those are produced in response to contraction by muscle. And the larger the mass of muscle that is contracting, the greater the downstream effect. So why are we messing around with these small little muscle groups?
Right.
We're just reducing the effect we could have. We're robbing the members of the effect it could have by saying yes to, can we do abs? Can we do more leg stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we can, but it'll reduce the effectiveness of our service.
Yeah.
And we don't want to do that. So that's why we keep it simple, because that's all that's necessary. And in fact, turns out to be better than had we gone the other way.
Right, exactly. Which is the beautiful part. I'm glad you got into the ab stuff too. So this is really kind of the takeaway. If you're in our flagship studios, we have the leg exercises. and there are more of them. We still, even though we have the ab machines, the Nautilus ab machines, we still most commonly don't like to put people on them for the exact reason you just said. It's also the case in the FastFit studio, but you need even less. And so there's some cool research there. And then the other piece is, I know we said this before, and it sounds like a cliche. If you've listened to some of our prior episodes with Jane, who we had on, abs are made in the kitchen. There's this, you know, idea right now that's like you can't outrun a bad diet. People are getting some more hype again. It's like we're in the 80s. Start running, and if I lost all my weight from running, et cetera. And what they're really doing, because they started most likely strength training too, this has become popular, which is great, and they're building up more of a hunger and appetite, you know, because they're expending more energy and they're getting out there, is they're just trying to expend more energy. I can't say that five times real fast.
Yeah, easy to use it.
I know. And but there's been tons of not only research, but everybody here probably has met or known somebody that, yeah, if you're strength training and you're adding the muscle to your body, including your abs, as soon as you really start to get into that calorie deficit and lose fat, guess what starts to be revealed? All the curves in those muscles, including your glutes and your hamstrings and your thighs and your abs and your midsection. So it's the case that if you really, really want to get that summer body, if you really want to do a physique competition, et cetera, you could go run and burn 1,000 calories extra every day if that's something you choose to do and deal with the consequences on that stuff. Or you could do a FastFit workout twice a week or a flagship workout twice a week, and you could watch your calorie intake and you could get your protein up, and you're going to see the muscles that you think aren't working
right
pretty quickly.
Yeah, if you have stood up today, you've used your abs. Otherwise, you just fall over. We all have abs. Every single person has abs. It's just that most often they're covered by a layer of fat. There are those who imagine that by flexing and contracting the muscles underneath the fat, it will burn just the fat up above those muscles, and preferentially.
They call it targeted reduction.
Yeah, spot reduction.
Yeah.
And the results are equivocal. And you'll find that it does not work. And also, it's a backwards idea. If you develop a muscle, if you contract the muscle, and then it begins to thicken up to become more dense, to get more shape and tone and grow, and you don't do anything about the fat, you leave your diet the same, all you've done is expand your midsection.
Mm-hmm.
So now your pants don't fit as well. You've been doing abs for 6 months, and now all you have to show for it is a bigger midsection. What did you think was going to happen?
Right.
When you did a bunch of sit-ups and abs, you're going to grow the abs.
Yeah.
Which is great for a bodybuilder who just has paper-thin skin. You want to grow the abs. Great. If you need abs for a martial art, or if you're a gymnast, cool, do abs. But if you're just trying for a look or an aesthetic, the last thing you want to do is abs. You want to leave the midsection small and build up the rest of the hourglass, not the abs. Or if you're a guy, the V-taper.
That's right.
So the last thing you would want to do is direct work for the abs. I really want to thicken up. I want a boxy midsection. That's what I want. I want to do some abs. I want that box right in the middle. I just the rectangle of abs. It's like, why would you be doing this? Plus, there's so many other better things you could be doing. So it's the wrong idea in the first place, and it doesn't work in practice. So it's over too.
Well, cool. So that's two guys talking about leg day, and they said it would never be done.
Yeah, bros don't let bros skip leg day, but you don't do any more than you need.
That's right. Very cool. All right, man. See you soon.
Right on. See you next time.
Thanks for tuning in to the Perfect Workout Podcast. We hope you found today's episode inspiring and actionable. If you're ready to take the next step in your fitness journey, visit us at theperfectworkout.com for more resources, or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, or YouTube. Don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and share this episode with someone who could benefit. Together, let's make fitness simple, empowering, and a part of life well lived. See you next time.